Hi, it's Karen Webster, and welcome to Data Drivers, our weekly show where we tell the story of a trending topic in payments using only three data points. Today, I'm delighted to be joined by Nelson Holzer, the CEO of Avi. Nelson, thanks for joining me today.
Well, thanks for having me, Karen.
So here's the topic today, and I thought I could set it up. So AV creates an open ecosystem of apps and payment services and devices to enable a merchant-branded experience that can really be tailored to the customers that they serve and the experiences that they want to create. And clearly that requires APIs and an open ecosystem because you're serving many different constituencies who have many different requirements. So open APIs is the topic today, and I thought we would get into it by talking about three data points that I just discovered. They're actually pretty fresh. So Nelson, are you ready to dive in with me?
Absolutely, Karen.
Okay, so here we go. So data point number one, I think you'll probably like this one. It's 47%, and this is the result of a study that Oracle did of bank and fintech executives. And 47% is the percent of survey respondents who said that their interest in exploring and adopting APIs is because they want to create real-time services experiences for their stakeholder, for their customer and user. How does that sync with what AV addresses and tries to enable on behalf of the ecosystem that you serve?
Yeah, I think that is indeed a very interesting data point, and I think it fits beautifully to our purpose at AV, which is ultimately give our customers choice in what they really want to do with our ecosystem, and both in terms of services or also devices or platform features. And I think all that choice is only really possible to deliver if you work with open APIs. And so I think that's 47%, I think, in the survey, they really hit the nail on the head because all these real-time services can only be accessed ultimately through open APIs. And also we see, for example, in Europe, regulation kicking in this direction with the Payment Service Directive, the second one, which really requires also banks to open their system. So I think it's all about openness these days, and that openness then gives you access to that kind of service level, which I think in the past we haven't really seen. You know?
But Nelson, so real-time services experiences, that's pretty broad and can mean lots of different things to lots of different people. What does it mean for the ecosystem that you're powering?
Yeah, for example, I mean, there's many aspects, but to make it a bit more concrete, for example, when our customers use smart POS devices in their checkouts, for example, in small restaurants or small hotels, and they use apps and they turn all of a sudden their payment device into a business tool, those apps very often ultimately are connected through open APIs then with lots of service, being booking systems or reservation systems or rating systems, for example, with real-time assessment of what has been done, you know, how the consumer satisfaction, for example, was. So all these things then are collected through open APIs with a particular app provider, service provider, and they then consolidate the findings and give really access to the data. And I think that only works really with open APIs. So whenever you ultimately connect a smart device with an additional service you would like to use as a merchant, for example, or retailer, then all of a sudden you need those open APIs. Otherwise, you don't have real access to that kind of service. And again, we see all sorts from CRM management, inventory management, to bookings, to reservation systems, to ordering caps or split bills or what have you. And all this is only possible if you work with open APIs. So our ecosystem very much relies on app developers who provide great services, mm-hmm. and typically those services are based on open APIs.
So question about the app developers and what draws them in. I mean, clearly they're getting access to a portfolio of merchants who want capabilities, but what helps them better define what it is they want to create and then make available through your platform using APIs as a method to enable that more easily?
Yeah, I think for the app developer, I think it's lots of people are out there which have great ideas and great services, and sometimes it's just normal web-based services. But when you want to make it available to thousands of merchants, really, without always integrating every single one of them, or with hundreds of let's say smaller chains of hotels or restaurants, for example, they look for a standard SDK, which basically then mm-hmm. allows them to connect to our system that can work with their APIs, so that we can really make it very, very smooth and across devices. The merchants have then a consistent user experience, so they can use their smart POS device, for example, to check their bookings. But they might as well have, again, then a desktop computer somewhere else in their hotel where another manager just cross-checks it, and they can still sort of use the same service with different mm-hmm. Sort of different endpoints associated, I would say. And so I think for the app developers, it's really, the more unified it is, and the more open it is, the better it is, because then they have more access to users who they can really cater to.
So let's move to the second data point, which I think speaks to the scale of the opportunity. And this is data that was just released today by Capgemini. They do an annual study of payments and payment growth. And they project that in just the next 2.5 years, so this is by 2020, that there will be 726 billion digital transactions globally, so around the world. That's number, not dollar volume, which represents a growth of about 10% year over year. Clearly, that's a lot of transactions, and as you think about the opportunity to provide more access to more capabilities that enable more merchants and your ecosystem to take advantage of these new opportunities, what kinds of things are you thinking about so that everyone who wants to has the opportunity to do that?
Yeah. I mean, indeed, 726 billion transactions digitally is quite a high number. I agree, but I think it really is absolutely doable if you think only 10% year-on-year growth, because I think what we will see is that the transaction is a much broader term than just a payment transaction, right? And I think this is also mm-hmm. where we feel when we talk about app usage that can be associated, and that is very a payment transaction, but when you really think about it, let's for example look at an example where a restaurant owner wants to have a rating from the customer at the checkout. So they will basically have a payment transaction because people will pay for the goods they want to acquire or buy. But in a second step, then hopefully that particular consumer also gives a rating, and that in itself is also in a sense a transaction, I think. So I think there's lots of associated transactions happening now around the payments, and when you really think about also the offerings, what we especially also see in Asia, where you have things like Alipay or the WeChat Pay functionality. Yeah. I mean, like, this is not only about payment, right? It's very often about a booking and a ring and a loyalty program, maybe even. So all of a sudden, you have one transaction which triggers ultimately two or three or four. I think this is a trend which will only get stronger and bigger, and this is why I also think that we definitely see a lot more of those transactions. So I think in our space, that's definitely a lot more potential, I think, than we have been able to capture as of yet, I would say. And that together with other big trends like e-commerce transactions, continuing to grow, that alone also is digital only, really, when you think about it, and the purchase. So I think it is a very high number. a big number, but I think it's absolutely doable. And we will only see more interaction, more transaction as people are getting more and more connected and endpoints are getting more and more connected. I think people have to really think about more ecosystems in terms of, yes, you have a payment device, but you may also have a beacon, for example, which picks up a transaction that can also be then again triggering yet another transaction. It could trigger a loyalty offer, for example, if then the consumer is being detected by the beacon, for example. So I think all these new devices, which are more and more connected, will also continue to bring more and more transactions into the game.
Are the merchants you're talking to overwhelmed by this prospect? I mean, clearly there's a great upside, but if you're a small restaurant or you operate a small, you know, series of restaurants, you know, around a city or within a country, I mean, it's easy to see how this wave of digital can feel overwhelming and even very hard to understand where to start first and how to evolve. How are those conversations with merchants going? Are they expressing any concerns or fears?
Well, I think definitely, I think they're not so much concerned about it. I think they have a baffled what is doable. If only they were doable, able to really leverage all these devices and ultimately the data behind it. So I think you definitely have a camp of guys who are a bit overwhelmed and reluctant, and they don't know where to start, and that is also quite a tough decision, because you know what trend do you really want to sort of bet on if you only can do one or two things at the same time. So I think there you definitely have a couple of guys who are a bit reluctant to say, okay, so I'll follow probably someone else who does it and is successful. But I also see that that a couple of retailers, they are thinking very, very big, and they really embrace the entire development. They even drive it. They ask for pushing faster and more features out there when it comes down to identifying customers and what you can do then with that information. So I think you have probably the entire range of people who are a bit more reluctant and then people who are absolutely embracing it. And I think it is quite a task to really use all that data and make it happen. Yeah. So this is why we like so much also the variety we have to offer with our business applications, because there you have a starting point and you can try the digital world. Yeah, you can use one or two or three apps only where you have a tangible use case and you immediately see what problem it may solve in your business, and then hopefully it's a good experience and you can really grow your business and make it more efficient with those tools. And I think then you are open. Or more open to try something new out, and maybe it's not the beacon first, maybe it's just a booking system or a loyalty system, which is easy to do. Things like that, I think, are a very good starting point, especially for smaller and medium-sized merchants.
Nelson, how do the merchants decide what to take on? You know, maybe you have 30 different versions of a loyalty scheme. Is there an easy way for a merchant to make a decision? I'm just curious as to how, although it's easy for them to tap into this and actually deploy it, they still have to make a decision about what to choose. How do you help them with that?
Yeah, I think, well, I mean, probably just on that note, AB sells the solutions to acquirers and merchant banks, who then resell it to their merchants. But nonetheless, we obviously have a lot of interaction and a lot of discussions also what the best value proposition really is, right? And I think what we have learned over the last, last 12 months in particular, is that while we have a very nice variety of apps available, what people probably will not be taking on immediately is that they download apps like we as consumers do now with the Apple App Store or a Google Play Store, right? So I think There, it's more about slicing and dicing the right verticals, the right kind of size of businesses, and then looking for bundles of two, three, maybe four apps, which are probably even preloaded with a device, so that they basically come with a smart terminal and you have already a great loyalty app pre-installed, and you also have a POS system pre-installed. And if you then like it, you can upgrade it, or you can have more, or you can replace a service with another app, for example, with the same purpose. But I think to actually really make it happen, you have to sort of lower the barrier of entry, so to say, for the merchants. And we believe that bundles are a very, very good idea, because you can really give them already a glimpse of what is working well and what will have an immediate effect for that kind of business, because we simply know what works with small restaurants, for example, or smaller hotels. And then it's really then up to the merchants and the banks and us to say, but if you want to have a more sophisticated version or, you know, more features, for example, you would then basically need to download an additional version or maybe even another app. But I think bundles and sort of preloading of software is pretty key in our distribution strategy at the moment.
Yep. Yeah, no, it makes sense. You get someone started, and then they can grow from there, where you've eliminated at least the initial decision process and all the anxiety that goes along with it. For the final data point, let's get a little philosophical, and this data point is two, and it actually references a piece that I published today. I do my weekly commentary, and in this one I suggested that, given all the changing dynamics in commerce today, with mobile and connected devices evolving and the access devices that consumers are using to reach merchants is changing, you know, through personal assistants, virtual personal assistants like Alexa with Amazon and Allo with Google and Siri with Apple and Bixby with Samsung. I made the statement that I thought the way things look today, that there will be two big ecosystems that will control, because consumers have opted in to their ecosystem, how they access commerce. Amazon with Alexa and Google with Allo, given some of the things that they're doing with large players like Walmart, for example. And you know, maybe I'm right, maybe I'm wrong, but it's an interesting topic of conversation, because I think if you look at the consumer as the starting point for where things start, searches start, decisions get made, places where they go to look for information about what they want to buy or where they want to eat or where they might want to book their hotel room, it's not implausible to think they're going to ask Alexa, they're going to ask Allo to help them do that. How do you think that changes the world of ecosystems and APIs and how players, merchants remain relevant?
Well, that is a very, very interesting question, right? And I think when you especially when we talk about open APIs here, in conjunction with those platforms, I think those platforms are only as powerful actually as the APIs which support them, interestingly enough,
yep.
Right? So I think, you know, all these two platforms, and I think there's probably two or three more when we look to Asia, I think then definitely there's a huge shift in consumer behavior, right? I think when it comes down to probably even day-to-day purchases will probably be done, not even by voice, maybe just by like the buttons, for example, or the IoT, the fridge just knows that, hey, you need new milk, for example. So I think that's definitely, I think, a wave of changes I think we'll see. And then we have to see really, will these big platforms be able to deliver themselves? or will they again need partners, local grocery stores, for example, to fulfill that demand in the quality and the time consumers expect it to happen, right? So I think maybe in bigger cities that where we have a high density and maybe bigger players have very good reason to have their own logistics centers, for example. I think the grocery stores have to come up with some very, very good ideas of how to tackle that and how to get really people in the stores. But in more rural areas, for example, I think the local players can really also benefit from that, from those trends. So I think it's not about sort of that the death of the local grocery store is imminent. Mm-hmm. It can be also quite the opposite, that all of a sudden that extra layer of convenience through those platforms will then be able to talk to a local grocery store and they can deliver the service beautifully. So I think that probably will need a little bit more time to really understand how that works. I'm personally, I think there will be more concentration, but if I look at the complexity of retail and especially also on payments, I think nobody is preaching consolidation for a long, long time. And when I look at the landscapes at the moment, they are still pretty, pretty fragmented. So I'm not so much concerned that the payment piece, for example, will be all of a sudden in 2 or 3 years' time be in the hands of two platforms or so. I think quite the opposite is true. It seems that it's getting more and more complex with more and more services behind it, which is the beauty of payments, at least for me. But yes, I think you definitely see quite a shift in consumer behavior, and with that we'll see even more trigger transaction by those platforms by voice. So definitely, I think picking up on the trend of e-commerce and delivery services behind it, I think that will only accelerate that development. And so I think it really is important as a retailer to think about what can I offer now really in my bricks and mortar store to draw people really into my environment. And very often it is really this look and feel, the extra layer of professional advice maybe, or just listening to a certain sound when you want to buy a stereo, for example. That is hard to replicate, really, if it's only happening in the digital world. So I do believe that all this is possible, and that also small and medium-sized retailers have a chance to survive. But they have to come up with some extra service layers, I would say. They have to create a wow effect when customers come to their store, and hopefully by our ecosystem, for example, in AV with the apps, that could be one of the elements to create these wow effects, because it's not just simply about taking your money, but also asking about the service level and maybe even get a nice little discount if you answer that service level question and the ratings, for example. So I think there's so much more you can do with the data you also get from these services that's definitely also a chance of a very healthy small and medium-sized retail segment.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think it requires, a bit of a different thought process. And I think what you just said is giving these small merchants the tools to create those relationships with consumers so that they don't forget about those local merchants. So, in my piece, I went through this example, it's winter's coming in Boston, I need a new pair of snow boots. And you can imagine that playing out in a variety of ways. You could imagine if I was a loyal customer of a local shop in Boston, I could say to my virtual assistant, show me what, the name of store has for snow boots this season. And, one could imagine that either on a screen or via an app, I see, five selections. It could also go, Alexa, Allo, Siri, Bixby, I need a new pair of snow boots. And it becomes then the decision of that intermediary to show me boots through a combination of algorithms or other things, just like search happens today, that I see the boots pop to the top of the top of the stack. So I think it does require that these small merchants do more to develop a relationship with the customer, and I think those are the kinds of tools you're giving merchants in order for them to do that in a more efficient digital way.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's and I think this has just only begun, right? I think we have a great selection of apps, but what we really like about being a marketplace for business applications is that there's so many people out there who really have very specific ideas about certain verticals or industries or what works well and what doesn't really work well, that we really believe that the power of the app community or the developer community will come up with great solutions, right? And sometimes it's stuff we at AV don't really think about. When we thought about it just recently about a service for pharmacies, and we were not aware of some issues pharmacies would have. But those guys were the experts. They had been in pharmacies for ages. And they created really a killer application for that particular vertical, which I think we would have not had the idea to come up with. So this is, I think, the beauty of an open ecosystem like ours, that hopefully we can attract many, many more of those gifted developers who then really help those businesses to come up with a better service level or a different service level or better analytics to run their businesses more efficiently. I think that's also something where sometimes the smaller businesses struggle with because they simply don't have the tools to really access data and have it properly visualized so that they can really do something about it. Or maybe in the next generation, you'll have even tools within those apps which then say, okay, so my recommendation then would be for you to, let's say, change your opening hours or do your pricing differently or have a different service level at particular time of the day, for example, because, hey, guess what, there's more patients coming in the morning than in the evening, maybe. So I think all that, there's so much more to do. And I think, yet again, when you have all the analytics behind it, that's where also open APIs are so important, that you don't have to wait for a full month or so to get a paper report, which you probably don't even see. But instead, you basically get a pop-up notification to say, hey, guess what, we have a great new finding, or be careful, something seems to be wrong because we haven't seen any transaction in the last 2 hours. You may want to check whether, the restaurant actually is open, or the cashier works, for example, or you have enough staff on the ground. So all these things are becoming a lot more interactive, and the smarter the devices and the apps get, I think the higher the chance of success for those small and medium-sized businesses.
Yeah, it sounds great, because small businesses, they don't have the time or the resources to do all of this themselves, and they're busy. So having not only the bundle, but the availability of real-time data to help them run their businesses better is all very, very good. Well, Lucia Nelson, thank you so much for taking the time to share your insights and thoughts about open APIs and the powerful opportunities that can come of it when merchants and, in your case, acquirers can come together and put things in the hands of merchants to help them grow their business. That's what it's all about.
Absolutely. And thank you so much for having me. It was a very, very interesting question, the data points you brought up here.
Well, thank you, Nelson. It was interesting because you had some great insight, and I appreciate that very much. So we'll see you and talk to you again very soon. And for all who joined us today, thanks very much for taking your time. Have a great rest of the day and a good week. Thank you.